This morning I have as the title of my message, The Power of Words, but it's really not the power of words, it's the power of destructive words or verbal wounds that we experience in our life. And as I was preparing for this message, I came across a little tidbit that I guess I knew and I didn't know. I just somehow the numbers sort of boggle my mind, but every one of us speak about 11 million words per year. Some of us more, some of us less, but 11 million words per year. By the time we reach 65 years of age, we will have spoken in the area of 715 million words. And some of those words have been, you know, just words that are trivial. Some have been very important words. There have been words, however, that have been lifted us up, and there have been words that have torn us down. And that's where I really want to head this morning. I think about Mariah Carey, who once said, "I can receive 1,000 praises, but one criticism and one critical word will overrule all those 1,000 praises." And so every one of us know that in our own heart and our own life, we have had those lifting up words or those building up words, but we have also experienced words that have torn us down, words that have been critical of us, words that have spread or slandered us, words that have destroyed us and have stricken our own emotions, words that build up, words that tear down, words that encourage, words that discourage. And so today, as we look at some of these words real quickly here, and I've always seen them in this kind of a category today as we look at this, and I would have separated these, but for instance, if you want to look at these passages of scriptures, you can later on, but I'll read some of them, because the Psalms and the psalmist, he experienced many of these words in a way that were very detrimental, and he had to deal with these words in his own body, in his own heart. First of all, I find that there are cutting words, and I want you to notice that cutting words come from a trusted friend. These are words that come from a friend that we thought was really for us, that was walking with us, but the psalmist says, "It was not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it, nor as one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide it. But it was from you, a man, my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance, my friend. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were like drawn swords." And so we find that David experienced those words that cut to the quick, that cut to his very soul. They were cutting words. And then I think about in Psalm 64 how David describes words that pierced his own heart. And these are words that basically come from nowhere. They just come out of the blue in your life. And they're a little bit like an arrow. I go back to the ancient way of doing battle, and I think about the Roman soldiers. And they had shields which would actually prevent them from the arrows attacking them. That people would be, the enemy would be back behind a wall, and arrows would be launched overhead. And they would take these shields, and they would hide underneath these shields so that the arrows would not pierce them and would not destroy them. But the psalmist says, "They sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, bitter arrows." And so I think about how sometimes words are like arrows that are destined to strike our heart and destroy us. Then I think about biting words, and these are words that come from a known enemy. Notice this, cutting words come from what we consider a friend. Biting words come from a known enemy. And I think about how it is today that, for instance, in the scriptures, he likens it to a serpent. And I don't like snakes. They're slimy, they're subtle, they're deadly. I don't want to be bitten by a snake. You know, but it says they sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asp is under their lips. But it's not only serpents that can bite us with a biting word or a biting, you know, whatever it might be. I think about how I've read in the paper many times of how an offender, a person is arrested, and they will turn and they will bite the police officer. I think about how some of us have wrestled with kids and grandkids who are into doing what? Biting. Maybe their slug wasn't effective enough, and so they would just turn and just bite into that individual. And we say, no, don't bite. Why? Because the saliva can be deadly. It can cause a dire infection. And then I think about, lastly of all, poisonous words. And these are the words that poison us. And that sort of ties in with the piercing words, because I think about how the word toxic comes from the word which means arrows laced with poison. And so I think about poisonous arrows that have been shot, or I think about blow darts. You know, you put poison on the tips of those, and the certain people groups would go out, they would hunt monkeys with these blow darts, And they would pierce the skin of the monkey. The poison would incapacitate them, paralyze them. They would fall from the tree, and then they would take them as their own prey. But these poisonous words cloud our reasoning. They cloud our ability to think clearly. In Proverbs 18:8, it says, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." And so when you translate this over into the New Testament, you will find that these poisonous words are oftentimes linked with gossip and slander. And we all know that when people begin to gossip and slander and tear you down, it can just destroy a whole body. It can destroy an individual. It can destroy a family. Poisonous words, piercing words, biting words, cutting words. There's also burning words. But how do we handle these kinds of wounds? How do we treat them in life? I remember when I was earlier, and I don't know why it is, but I guess when you're a teenager, there are certain things that stay with you and you don't forget them. As an adult, I just sort of moved on and I don't really remember them, but as a teenager, I remember them. And down the way from our home, we used to play at a friend's house, and they had a clubhouse or a tree house. And seemingly, every time I was growing up, we were always playing in old abandoned buildings. You know, we had them as clubhouses and all these sorts of things. But we had a treehouse, and it was just outside of an old chicken coop. And they were tearing down this chicken coop, and of course, the barn and or the buildings and the chicken coop was lying all around. And I remember walking across these boards, and I stepped on an old rusty nail. And, you know, that hurts when you step on a real old nail like that. And so I limped all the way home, which was about a block and a half. And my mom took my tennis shoe off. And I remember it wasn't bleeding until she pulled out a hunk of my tennis shoe from the wound. And it began to bleed like a stuck hog, which was actually pretty good. And then she soaked my foot. I think it was in Epsom salt. Does that sound right? You know, we never went to the doctor. The tetanus shot was the furthest thing from my mind and her mind. You know, if we didn't get better by home remedies, you just died. But nonetheless, you know. You know, I remember that. And so the bleeding part was good. So, you know, I've injured myself numerous times since then. I'm still here. I haven't died. But how do you treat various wounds? When I went to the service, they gave us a book, and it had in there four steps that you needed to do. And if you've ever taken a Red Cross course, you probably have these steps. One is you stop the bleeding. You secondly cleanse the wound. Then you protect the wound, and then you prevent or treat for shock. So how do you treat the wound? I want to just sort of change this around, and maybe you won't like my recommendations, but first of all, I want to say, keep your head. Keep your head. And that's hard to do, but if you're bit by a snake, the worst thing that you can do is to get up and hightail it for the nearest rescue station, because all you're going to do is to make your blood circulate faster and make this poison go throughout your body. So try not to panic, although if I was bitten by a snake, I would probably panic. So I'm trying to say, keep my head, Dennis. Whatever you do, don't run to the nearest rescue station. Secondly, determine the type of wound. Is it a piercing wound? Is it a cutting wound? Is it a biting wound, a poisonous wound? I mean, a nail is going to be removed differently than if you're shot by an arrow. You cannot pull the arrow out the same way that it comes in. Maybe it's a poisonous wound. How are you going to deal with that in your life? So what kind of wound is it? Thirdly, stop the bleeding and cleanse the wound. I mean, wash it out with soap and water and with a peroxide or whatever you have, and then make certain that you put some antibiotic on it and then put some pressure on the wound and put a gauze on it, but whatever it might be. If it's a snake bite, don't put ice on it. You know, don't put ice on it because that will only further the complications. So we have to determine the type of wound, how we're going to prevent the wound from spreading further, and how we're going to recover from that wound. Now, let's take those steps and apply them then to our verbal wounds. Because maybe you've been cut by a word. Maybe you've been pierced by somebody's word. Maybe a trusted friend has turned and said something to you and it just absolutely has just destroyed, you know, who you are. Maybe it's a poisonous word that has been spoken. But first of all, keep your head. Whatever you do, don't lash back. Don't expose your venomous teeth. Don't, you know, lash out. Control your own tongue. Don't sink to the level that they sunk to, and don't dare lash back with the same words that they lash back with, all right? So first of all, keep your head. Secondly, cleanse the wound. And how do you cleanse the wound? When I got to thinking about this, I thought about the Word of God. The Word of God is our antiseptic. It is our antibiotic, is it not? For instance, if somebody speaks a poisonous word to you, and that lie is spread about you through gossip or through slander, what do? You need to allow the Word of God, which is truth, to cleanse us. And in John chapter 17, it says, "Thy word is truth." It says, "Cleanse me according to your word, sanctify them according to your word. Thy word is truth." So how do you dilute a lie? How do you deal with a lie? You deal with it with truth. Maybe it's just a cutting wound or a biting wound. How do you deal with that? Again, you go to the Word of God. Ephesians 4:26 or 4:23 says that we are made clean through the water or through the washing of the water with the Word. And it has to be administered daily. Every day we know that we need to take that wound and we need to cleanse that wound, and then we need to put a fresh bit of antiseptic or antibiotic on that. Thirdly, we need to prevent against infection. I think we have that up there. Prevent against infection, because I know that even though a wound can scar over and scab over, some days later what might happen is that infection might set in if we haven't cleaned it properly. And all of a sudden it begins to swell, it becomes red, it becomes painful to the touch. You know, I've shared with you about how my daughter had appendicitis, and a week after the surgery, she became ill again. The infection had begun to return in her body because it wasn't all cleansed out. I know of those who've had knee replacements, and those knee replacements have gotten infected. So we need to make certain that we prevent against infection. Because long after, friends, you receive that verbal wound, if we have not cleansed that wound properly with the Word of God, infection will set in and you will become bitter. And the book of Hebrews says in chapter 12 that the root of bitterness that begins to go down deep in our body, in our soul, will not only defile you, but you will begin to defile others. And whenever that individual who lashed out on you, maybe he threw that arrow at you, maybe they shared that poisonous word with you, they destroyed you, they slandered you, you know, your veins begin to stick out, and you begin to mutter vile things about them, and you begin to share that with your friends, and that infection begins to grow in inappropriate ways, and all of a sudden, not only do you have one person who's been affected by that wound, but there have been several people who have been affected by that wound. We have to understand the benefits of forgiveness, and that is not easy to forgive. I'd be the first one to admit that, because there have been times in my life people have said things about me or about the church or about you, and you know, for some reason, I don't know why this is so, but if they say something about you, just like they say something about your family, your kid, what do? You take it on yourself. And even at the mention of the name, you want to just sort of in the flesh, just sort of, you know, I shouldn't do that, but anyway, repel against that and fight against that. And it's difficult to forgive. So how do I forgive? I found an interesting story that we have sometimes heard. And it comes from the book of Numbers chapter 21. And it reminds me that the only anti-venom that we have against poisonous words and against sin in per se is the cross of Jesus Christ. And in Numbers 21, what we have are the people of Israel. They have been wandering through the wilderness, complaining and murmuring and saying all sorts of vile words against God. And as a consequence of their actions and sin, these poisonous snakes come into the camp. And they begin to get bit by these poisonous snakes. And what does God instruct Moses to do? He says, I want you to take a serpent, make a bronze serpent. And I want you to lift it up on a pole so that when people look to that bronze serpent, they will be healed. They will be healed. Michael Card, who's a Christian poet and composer, wrote a song about that passage. And in it he said this, "The symbol of their suffering was now the focus of their faith, and with a faithful glance the healing power could flow." Jesus, centuries later, took that same story. And he was sharing with this man by the name of Nicodemus on a rooftop one day. And he said, "Nicodemus, even as Moses lifted up that bronze serpent on a pole, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up on a cross. And for those who believe, they will experience eternal life." What was Jesus saying? He's saying simply this, when you look to me, you will find the power you need to forgive. Because there on that cross, I, Jesus, absorbed the venom for you. I, Jesus, absorbed the pain for you. I've experienced the piercing words, the cutting words, the biting words that you've experienced. I've taken them on myself. I've absorbed them in my own body. And when you look at the cross, understanding that I also forgave my enemies, you will receive the power to be able to forgive. And forgiveness is so important. It's hard. It's difficult. And maybe years, maybe 2 years, 3 years, 4 years later afterwards, I mean, it's very difficult. So we need to come to the Lord and say, Lord God, I need you to help prevent against the infection in my emotional soul. Please heal me and give me the power to forgive. And then there's a fourth thing that we need to do, and that is this: treat for shock. Treat for shock. Because I don't know about you, but have you ever had a word spoken to you that was a cutting word, a piercing word, a biting word, and you just have a hard time saying, how in the world could they do that? You just can't fathom it, and that shock begins to set in. We cannot control what people say about us, but we can control what we believe. We can't control what people say about us, but we can control what we meditate upon. And the book of Proverbs says this: guard your heart, for out of it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart, for out of it is the wellspring of life. But how many of you this morning have ever received or been inflicted with a verbal wound? Probably everyone in this room today. Not only have we received those verbal wounds, but I would probably say that probably 50, 70, 90, 100% of us have also pierced others with our words. We've cut others with our words. And so I want to encourage you this morning, and I want to encourage myself to speak life-giving words to others as long as I can. Speak life-giving words. You know, you might want to email them, text them, Twitter them, send cards, whatever you do, send life-giving words. Life-giving words. What does the Bible say? Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And not only do I need to speak life-giving words to others, but I need to speak life-giving words to myself and my situation. How many of you talk to yourself? I do it all the time. And I discovered something this past week. I don't know whether it's one of those trivia things. Every one of us speak about 50,000 times to ourselves during the day. I probably talk to myself about 100,000 times. 50,000 times every day we talk to ourselves. Now get this. It's said that, according to psychologists, 80% of what we say to ourselves is negative. 80% of what we say to ourselves is negative. I can't do it. I'm a failure. I'm ugly. People don't like me. I'll never be able to make it. I'm a flop. You know, we go on and on and on and on. And we need, see, what's happening there is that the devil is making our hearts align with those words that have been spoken to us with the intent on destroying us. And we need to align ourselves with God's truth and replace those toxic words with the words of life. I think about a young mother who had a young boy, and his name was Jackson. It's not the Jackson that Lana babysits, but he was 4 years old. And I love this story. And every night when she would bring him to bed, to get him ready for bed, she would tuck him into bed and pull the covers up over him. And then she would say to him, now, Jackson, let me remind you who you are. And then she would say to him, Jackson, you're my Superman. Jackson, you're my Batman and Spider-Man. Jackson, you're my Power Ranger. You're my Lightning McQueen. But Jackson, you're my Buzz Lightyear. And one evening, she was tired and it was late and they got home late and she took Jackson to bed and tucked him in and said goodnight and turned and began to walk out the room. And he said, Mommy, Mommy! And she turned around and said, what's wrong, Jackson? What's wrong? And Jackson said, Mommy, you forgot to tell me who I am. Mommy, you forgot to tell me who I am. Friends, we need to remind ourselves every single day who we are in the kingdom of God. The devil has the intent. God wants us to speak of those life-giving words to ourselves and remind us that we have a Savior who cares, that we have a God who walks with us, that we are a child of God. And that even though enemies poison us with their words, even though enemies slay us, you know, with our cutting words, that God in Christ Jesus provides us with life and health and hope in our life. And I look at this, look at these words in my life, and I say to myself, one, be careful of speaking death words to others. Be careful of cutting others with my words. Be careful of piercing others with my words, because we've all done that. God forgive us. But secondly, maybe some of you this morning are dealing with those verbal wounds. You're dealing with that word that has just cut to the quick. Someone has said something and it was a trusted friend and you just have a hard time believing it and you're in shock. Maybe you're still dealing with the infection of that, and every moment, every mention of that name brings bitterness to your heart. Maybe it's a situation of your life where it's come from an enemy. You know, you just can't live with them, but it's outside the territory. You know, how do you deal with that? Identify the wound. Treat it properly. Bring it underneath the authority of the Word of God. And most of all, for me, I'm sure this would be the same thing for you, but it's to look to the cross. Because there on that cross, Jesus Christ endured all the venomous words he could ever experience. The venomous words of those gathered around that cross saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." They pierced him not only with a spear, but with their words. They cut him not only with a sword, but with their own words. They bit him with their own words. And yet Jesus Christ, through that one act of sacrifice on the cross, dealt with your sins, dealt with my sins. And he allowed me to find a way to deal with the verbal wounds that I experience in my life, and to have some emotional healing that I need. Again, words can be those so devastating, they can build up and they can tear down. Let's be a people who build people up with their words. Be careful of tearing people down. But if you've been torn down this morning, there is indeed room at the cross. Jesus Christ will bring healing to your soul. Precious Lord, today we come. And you know, this is just more or less just a simple teaching message this morning. And yet it's something that we all need to remember and apply to our hearts and lives, because the devil wants to play with us. And someone will launch that attack upon us. They will gossip, they will whisper, they will slander us, they will bite us, they will cut us with their words. And Father, we're just sort of left on our heels, and we wonder what in the world has gone on, and we're sort of dazed and paralyzed, and we're in shock, and we can't think clearly, and our reasoning is clouded, and sometimes we're tempted to lash back in the way that we were spoken to. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will help us instead to look to the cross, to look to the cross. Help us to identify the wound, Lord God. Help us to apply the antibiotic of the Word of God. Lord Jesus, help us to treat the shock, to come before you in prayer, to come before the body of Christ and say, "Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me?" And that we might find healing in the midst of the storm. Father, I pray, heal every wound this morning and grant us freedom in the name of Jesus. Amen.